Good morning. This is radio station WCBS-FM, New York. WCBS-FM is owned and operated by the Columbia Broadcasting System, Incorporated, with studios and executive offices at 51 West 52nd Street in New York City. WCBS-FM operates on 101.1 megahertz by authority of the Federal Communications Commission, Washington, D.C. I invite you to stay tuned for our 24-hour schedule of programs continuously from now on throughout the coming week.
Good morning. This is Steve Porter welcoming you to WCBS News Radio 88. Because of an accident yesterday, an aircraft knocking over our AM transmitter tower, WCBS-FM will carry our new broadcasting concept until WCBS-AM facilities are repaired. WCBS time is 5:30 in the morning, and weather is behind most of the news this morning, even though the worst of it has finally left the New York metropolitan area. Heavy rain and fog yesterday caused transportation tie-ups, caused flooding, and was indirectly responsible for the destruction of WCBS and WNBC Radio's AM broadcasting tower. A small plane groping through the fog yesterday afternoon slammed into the tower, knocking it down and killing at least two passengers. One report says there may have been three other persons aboard the Piper Cherokee, which slammed into the WCBS-NBC tower. The plane wound up in Long Island Sound after careening off the tower. Two bodies surfaced immediately, but police fear more may have been aboard. One of the two bodies recovered has been identified as Ronald Bombalo of Manhattan. Police say he may have been one of a party of four that spent the weekend at East Hampton. Presumably, the four plus the pilot could have been aboard the craft. According to a report from the company that owned the plane, the aircraft was originally taken without authorization from the LaGuardia Airport. This morning, police say most of the rain accumulations on the highways have drained, but in many areas, giant potholes have appeared and will undoubtedly cause traffic problems. The Brooklyn-Queens Expressway was closed because of giant holes caused by flooding. However, one lane toward Brooklyn is open this morning. We might remind you to be extra careful this morning and look out for those potholes. Flights at Kennedy Airport are reported returning to normal. Many inbound flights were diverted to Boston, Hartford, and Washington last night because of the heavy fog and rain. We'll keep you up to date on the traffic both on the ground and in the air throughout the morning. WCBS time is 5:32. Midtown Manhattan temperature is 70 degrees under cloudy skies, and we're to have clearing weather this morning. The heavy weather over the weekend is also being partly blamed for the loss of at least 15 skydivers over Huron, Ohio. It seems a plane load of 19 men and two women took off from an airport near the Lake Huron community, planning to jump from 20,000 feet and land on a private airstrip. Because of heavy cloud cover, the pilot used instruments to find the position for the jump. As the skydivers broke through the overcast after falling over 15,000 feet, they saw nothing but water beneath them. The command to jump, according to Coast Guard officials, apparently was given 8 to 25 miles out over the ocean. The lake, rather. So far, two of the skydivers have been rescued, two have been found dead, and the search continues for the rest. Coast Guard and police officials are frankly pessimistic about the possibility that any more will be found alive. Coast Guard Ensign Ronald Coonan of Cleveland, Ohio, gave this assessment of the search this morning to WCBS reporter Ed Hanna.
Presently, a Coast Guard fixed-wing aircraft, six patrol boats, and the Coast Guard cutter Kaw are searching a 64-square-mile area between Huron and Vermilion, Ohio, in the lake. Coast Guard helicopters are standing by. As soon as weather conditions permit, they will be put into the search. It's impossible to say at this point how long the search will continue. If we could find everybody in the next 5 hours, we could spend 2 days. It's impossible to say how long, but someone could have survived.
Private boats and flares were used throughout the night. The incident is being described as the worst parachute disaster in history. WCBS time is 5:34. The communists in Vietnam launched one of the bloodiest series of terrorist attacks of the war overnight, highly effective and apparently well-coordinated attacks all over South Vietnam, left about 500 civilians dead or wounded. At least four Americans were killed when mortar shells rained down on the major Marine helicopter base just outside of Da Nang. 25 Leathernecks were injured. Two copters were destroyed and more than half a dozen others damaged. At Huy Nam, the communists blew up a petroleum dump, kidnapped a South Vietnamese battalion commander, and shot some civilians. At Can Tu, the Viet Cong mortared a hospital and then went through the wards, murdering women and children. The step up in terrorist activity is aimed at disrupting South Vietnam's first election, scheduled for Sunday, our time. News Radio 88 time now is 5:35. There are also these developments in connection with the Vietnam War this morning. Chief of State Nguyen Van Thieu says he will be glad to talk peace with individual elements of the Viet Cong, but he claims such talks will not amount to recognition of the National Liberation Front, the political arm of the Viet Cong. A House committee says this country should take a long second look at its Vietnam policies with an eye toward cleaning up corruption and mismanagement in the U.S. aid program. And Democratic Party leaders from 13 states have given their unanimous support to President Johnson's Vietnam policies. The 13 made their statement in Los Angeles and praised the 20-man commission, which leaves today to observe the Vietnam elections. News Radio 88 time, 5:36, 70 degrees in Midtown Manhattan. Skies are cloudy. Winds out of the southwest currently at 7 miles an hour. And it's to clear today. We may get rid of some of the rain that we had over the weekend. We'll have the full forecast 4 minutes from now. The search for a teacher's contract agreement resumes today. Negotiators for the school board and the United Federation of Teachers will meet again with Mayor Lindsay's special mediation panel with the hope a settlement will come before Friday. That's the deadline given the panel by Mayor Lindsay for a new contract. The panel's chairman, Archibald Cox, says weekend-long talks produced some progress, however. But Albert Shanker says he still feels the submission of 50,000 teacher resignations will be the only way union demands on salaries and classroom conditions will be met. Senator Robert Kennedy will be among those appearing in support of a new Truth in Lending law at an all-day hearing starting at 10 o'clock this morning at New York's City Hall. The hearings are expected to produce support for a House bill which would prohibit garnishment of wages and require that loan companies, banks, and merchants publish exactly what total interest charges will be. News Radio 88 time, 5:37. A reminder now that most of the rain has left the highways in the New York area. However, we had some heavy flooding overnight, and many streets have potholes in them. A note from the police that the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway was closed overnight. However, at the moment, one lane toward Brooklyn is open. There are quite a few potholes in the street because of construction work going on, and we might remind you to be extra careful, particularly on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway. Rapp Brown, free on bail of $15,000 here in New York, turned up in Detroit last night, just 5 weeks to the day of the beginning of the Detroit riots. He told a screaming crowd to start shooting white people and stop looting. And he said that the Detroit riots look like a picnic when compared with what is coming. Police kept a discreet distance from the crowd. There were no incidents. However, a couple of news cars were pelted with rocks. The newsmen inside were not injured. An Arab Leaders Summit conference opens in Khartoum, Sudan tomorrow. The aim is to formulate policy among Arabs toward Israel since the Mideast War. However, it's reported that divisions among Arab leaders may diminish the effectiveness of that meeting. An example is a report that Algerian President Boumediene is reluctant to attend the conference in the Sudanese capital because he's afraid moderate leaders will dominate policy decisions. And then there are the questions of oil shipments to the West and whether or not the Arab countries would prepare for another attempt to crush Israel. A woman accused of filing perjured affidavits in connection with former Teamsters boss Jimmy Hoffa's third motion for a new trial will go to trial in Chattanooga, Tennessee federal court today. Mrs. Catherine Johnson and a 17-year-old juvenile have been charged with claiming that federal marshals paid them to have sexual encounters with members of the jury in the 1964 trial of Jimmy Hoffa. The former Teamsters chief is currently serving 8 years sentence at federal penitentiary in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. The United States Parole Board is reportedly prepared to deny Hoffa a parole after serving at least 8 years, although he should be eligible for parole within 4 years and 7 months. News Radio 88 time is 5:40, and here's a look at the weather. Here in Midtown Manhattan, it's cloudy. The temperature is 70 degrees. Humidity is 90%. Winds out of the southwest at 7 miles an hour. The barometer reads 29.86 and is rising, and the THI is 70. Here's the forecast, and it's good news. Partial clearing this morning, partly sunny, and less humid this afternoon. The high in the 70s. Chance of a few showers again this evening. Tonight's outlook, partly cloudy and cool. The low, 55 to 65. Once again, in Midtown Manhattan, the reading is 70 degrees. The THI is also 70. And the pollen count, as compiled by the Long Island Jewish Hospital, is 2. News Radio 88 time is 5:40. Let's have a look at the sports picture now. Here's Pat Summerall. Pat, good morning.
And good morning. First of all, let's check on baseball. The Yankees beat the Washington Senators at D.C. Stadium 8-2 as Tommy Trash drove in 4 runs, and Ruben Amaro got in his first home run of the year. Fritz Peterson, the winning pitcher, number 5 for Fritz. The Yankees play the Boston Red Sox, and that has to be one of the big stories in sports, the Red Sox. That's tonight at Yankee Stadium. The Mets, meanwhile, lost at Shea Stadium yesterday to the Cubs 7-2 in a game that was called after 7 innings because of rain. They were supposed to have played 2. The Mets now move on to St. Louis to take on the league leaders in a doubleheader tonight. Meanwhile, the Minnesota Twins are back in first place in the scramble in the American League, but just barely. This time, the lead is 1 percentage point. Minnesota beat the Cleveland Indians yesterday with home runs from Rod Carew and Rich Rollins, solid pitching by Jim Merritt, and a great catch in center field to rob Joe Askew of a home run by Ted Ulander. Meanwhile, the Boston Red Sox split with the Chicago White Sox. Boston won the first game 4-3 with the help of 2 home runs from Carl Yastrzemski, number 33 and number 34 of the year for Yaz, to tie him for the league lead. The White Sox won the second one 1-0 behind Gary Peters. Winning run scored on a bases-loaded walk to pinch hitter Rocky Colavito, and that contest went 11 innings, and Peters pitched all the way. The fourth-place Detroit Tigers, meanwhile, lost some ground by dropping a 2-1 decision to the Kansas City Athletics. Both the Kansas City runs scored on a home run by Ramon Webster. The standings at the top of the American League now look like this. Minnesota in first by 1 percentage point over the Red Sox. Chicago is 1 game out. The Tigers are 1.5 games off the pace. The fifth-place California Angels are 6.5 back after being rained out of a doubleheader yesterday in Baltimore. In the National League, the lead-leading St. Louis Cardinals rallied for 5 runs in the third inning, beat Los Angeles 6-2. The San Francisco Giants and Atlanta Braves split a doubleheader. The Giants won the opener 2-0 on a 5-hitter by Mike McCormick, who posted his 18th victory of the year. In the second game, Cleet Boyer's home run ended a string of 25 scoreless innings for the Braves, led them to a 4-1 victory. Tommy Harper and Pete Rose each drove in three runs as Cincinnati beat Houston 11-8. Tony Taylor's two-run triple led the Philadelphia Phillies to a 2-0 victory over Pittsburgh. Game shortened to 4.5 innings by rain. The victory was the seventh in a row for Philadelphia. If you've been listening to us for the last few days, you know we've been wet up at Westchester Country Club. I guess there's some things that money can't buy. One of them is good weather. That's the world's richest golf tournament, the $250,000 Westchester Classic. We will be back up there again today with live reports this afternoon. And Mason Rudolph had a 67 yesterday to go with the 66 of the first day, and again, it was rained out. And Mason, I talked to right after he finished his round, and after it was rained out a little bit later on, was pretty frustrated. That's the sports story.
Pat, can I ask you, do you think the rain had a lot to do with the scores?
Well, I think some of the golfers were probably more concerned about what was going on with the rain and played and didn't waste nearly as much time, and probably some of them didn't think so much about the shots and did score a little bit better, maybe. A couple of other things, if I may, Steve. Two exhibition football games. First of all, an encouraging note for the Giants, who beat Minnesota yesterday 21-3 for their first victory of this preseason. And the Los Angeles Rams beat the San Diego Chargers 50-7. And the Denver Broncos came from behind with a last period touchdown and beat the Oakland Raiders 21-17. There's an exhibition game tonight, and that ought to be a honey, too. The Green Bay Packers against the Dallas Cowboys in the Cotton Bowl. We'll be back about 6:15. It's all yours, Steve.
Right, Pat. It's 5:44 News Radio 88 time.
And this is News Radio 88, WCBS FM, New York.
And as we've been saying all morning, it has been a wet weekend. If you've been in New York all weekend, you know what it's been. And once again, a reminder that the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway has only one lane open this morning, and that one lane is the lane that's headed toward Brooklyn. If you're trying to come the other way, you'll find your way blocked because of potholes caused by floods. There are quite a few other potholes in streets throughout the metropolitan New York area this morning as a result of floods, so be extra careful as you drive. News Radio 88 time is 5:45, and we might as well find out now just exactly what we have in store as far as the weather is concerned. Let's go to the WCBS News Radio 88 Weather Center and Gordon Barnes. And Gordon, the big question of the day is the sun going to come out?
Steve, it finally looks like we're going to get a break. What we in meteorological terms call a cool front, which is actually a line separating somewhat warm, moist air from cooler and dry air, went through the city about 5 o'clock this morning and will continue to move eastward, reaching the eastern end of Long Island about noon today. Actually, listening to Pat Summer all over the weekend, I had to somewhat sympathize with he and also Mason Rudolph shooting some good scores there for a couple of days and simply have them washed out. Maybe we'll have better luck today. There are a few patches of ground fog in Nassau and Suffolk counties, also Fairfield County in Connecticut. And those of you who will be venturing into the city will be happy to know that we expect the sun to be shining throughout most of the afternoon. It'll be less humid and high temperatures in the 70s. But we have to throw one little curve in there, and that there is still a remote chance of a few light showers around sunset this evening. But at this point, nothing to interfere with that golf tournament up in Westchester County. And as far as the boating forecasts are concerned for the day, generally southwesterly winds, 10 to 15 knots. And that's the latest we have over here at the Weather Center, Steve.
Gordon, can I ask you, why did we have all this weather yesterday when we expected partly cloudy weather?
Generally because the frontal system that was located well to the west of us came through about 12 hours earlier than anticipated. And yesterday morning when that sun finally broke out, it added heat to the atmosphere, and there was also an abundance of moisture at the upper levels, and this touched off what we call convective heating. In other words, it's the same as the ingredients you add to a cocktail shaker. When you shake it up and down, it really stirs everything up, and this touched off the thunderstorm activity.
Well, I hope everything is settled now. And as you said, we expect a fairly nice day today with the possibility of clouds. We'll be getting back to you later in the morning. As far as the traffic is concerned, mostly it's all due to the weather. In fact, East 51st Street between 5th and Madison Avenue is closed today. And a reminder again that the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway has only one lane. That lane is in the direction of Brooklyn. If you're trying to travel from Brooklyn to New York, you'll find your way blocked because of potholes in the street, and that, too, was caused by the rain. New York City police have set up radar units on the Pelham and Hutchinson River parkways in the Bronx, on Grand Central Parkway and North and South Conduit Avenues in Queens, on the Belt and Ocean Parkways in Brooklyn, and on the Drumgoogle Boulevard on Staten Island. Alternate side-of-the-street parking regulations are in effect today. Now, checking mass transit this morning, early commuter trains are on or close to schedule. PATH subways are operating normally. No unusual delays to report on the city's subways, and Staten Island ferry boats are on time. Conditions at the three major airports are good this morning, and operations are normal with less than 15-minute delays on arrivals and departures. News Radio 88 time, 5:48. Temperature in Midtown Manhattan, 70 degrees under cloudy skies, although as you heard Gordon say, we do expect the skies to clear this morning. Right here, an audio preview of today's television highlights, a sample of mixed media as WCBS News Radio 88 takes a look at your home screen. At 1 o'clock this afternoon on Channel 5, the premiere of a news information program called The New Yorkers, hosted by Sonny Fox and Penelope Wilson. Their special guest, New York Senator Jacob Javits. At 6:25 this evening on Channel 9, the baseball game between the New York Mets and the St. Louis Cardinals from St. Louis. At 8:30 on Channel 7, a special that asks, "Do Blondes Have More Fun?" Subtitled, "Blondes and the Way America Sees Them." Special guests include Al Capp, Anita Luce, and Myrta Manns. And at 9 o'clock on Channel 13, the Net Journal telecasts film on the plight of Arab refugees of the Arab-Israeli War. At 9:30 on Channel 2, another preseason pro football game, as you heard Pat mention a moment ago. This one's between the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers at Dallas, and that should be a real wing-ding because, as you remember, they were the two top teams last year. At 11:15 tonight, the second of today's two new shows on Channel 5, a variety talk program with Woody Woodbury. And at 11:30 on Channel 4, The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson playing host to Twiggy, among other guests. And to mix another medium, here's a glance at some of the movies to be seen on television tonight. At 6 p.m. on Channel 7, Yellow Sky with Gregory Peck, Ann Baxter, and Richard Widmark. At 11 o'clock on Channel 9, A Star is Born with Judy Garland and James Mason. At 11:30 on Channel 11, Legend of Love. At 12:45 a.m., if you're a real late stayer-upper, on Channel 2, Affair in Havana, starring John Cassavetes and Raymond Burr. And at 2:20 in the morning on Channel 2, Curtain Call at Cactus Creek with Donald O'Connor. News Radio 88 time now is 5:50.
Jim Harriet on WCBS News Radio 88. Mobility gives News Radio 88 a big edge.
The Flanders and WCBS News Radio 88 Mobile Unit Number 1. Proceeding north on Henry Hudson Parkway, this is Jack Cavanaugh and WCBS News Radio 88 Mobile Unit Number 2. We're in Journal Square, Jersey City, but right now...
This is Dick Gilbert in Helicopter Number 1.
Neil Fush, Helicopter Number 2.
Stu Cutting, reporting from Bridgeport. We're a major industrial city.
This is John Anthony reporting to WCBS News Radio 88 from Roosevelt Field, Long Island.
Mobility and flexibility. Those two words best express why WCBS News Radio 88 is like nothing you've ever heard before. 5:30 a.m. to 8:10 p.m., Monday through Friday, right here.
News Radio 88 time is 5:51. Temperature in Midtown Manhattan on a cloudy morning, 50 degrees, with the weatherman predicting clearing skies today, mostly partly cloudy throughout the day with the possibility of showers again come the evening. Police are searching waters of the Long Island Sound for possible additional victims of yesterday's private plane crash. It's known that two persons were killed when a one-engine plane crashed into the WCBS AM radio transmission tower. But officials now say there may have been three more people on that plane. Police think those aboard may have been part of a group that spent the weekend at East Hampton. Stanley Leonard, an official of the company that owns the plane, has told WCBS Radio that the craft definitely was flown by unauthorized persons. Leonard says someone just took the keys out of the office. The crash knocked WCBS AM off the air, but efforts are underway to resume normal broadcasting. The transmission tower, which is also used by radio station WNBC, is located on High Island near City Island in the Bronx. 19 skydivers parachuted into Lake Erie near Huron, Ohio yesterday. There are only 2 known survivors. 2 others are known to have drowned in the choppy waters. 15 others are still missing. One of the survivors is 29-year-old Robert Coy of Springfield, Ohio. He told WCBS Radio News reporters what happened after he jumped from the plane and first realized he was over water instead of land.
As soon as we came out of the cloud cover at 4,000 feet, I seen the water, and I knew we were over the lake. You know, my guy, you know, I was just flabbergasted. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, and then I seen the shoreline, so my immediate reaction was to open my parachute. I opened a little high, roughly probably 3,000 feet, and I seen the shoreline, so I thought I would open as high as possible, hoping the wind was blowing in towards shore and would blow me as far in towards shore as possible. And I immediately started preparing to get out of my gear and get ready for the water. And I unfastened my helmet and all my gear, and just left one strap on my leg there to hold me in the parachute till I hit the water. And as soon as I hit the water, I ejected that and jettisoned all my equipment and hung onto my reserve parachute, which floats for a while.
Robert Coy, one of the 2 survivors of that mass parachute jump into Lake Erie yesterday, in which 2 persons are known dead and 15 are still missing. Coy was in the water for about 5 minutes before a nearby boat picked him up. 2 U.S. Marine bases in South Vietnam have taken a heavy pounding from communist mortars and rockets. 10 Marines were killed and 106 were wounded in the raids, and 12 helicopters were destroyed or damaged. The attacks were against Leatherneck bases in the northern part of South Vietnam. They followed a series of mortar shellings throughout South Vietnam yesterday, which killed or wounded more than 300 people, and most of them were civilians. News Radio 88 time is 5:54. Temperature in New York City, 70 degrees. South Vietnam's chief of state, Nguyen Van Thu, has offered to talk peace with Viet Cong leaders under certain conditions. Thu said that while he still refuses to recognize the Viet Cong, he would meet with its leaders as individuals. Thu indicated that the communists would have to initiate a request for such a meeting, a prospect considered highly unlikely. The prominent Americans, 20 of them, chosen by President Johnson to observe South Vietnam's elections, leave the United States today for South Vietnam. The observers are to be permitted to travel freely in secure areas of the country to keep tabs on the South Vietnam September 3rd balloting. That's Sunday, our time, Monday, South Vietnamese time. The New York City Council opens hearings this morning on a bill designed to help the consumer. It's taking up truth in lending legislation, which would require banks and stores selling on the installment plan to clearly state their terms. Incidentally, the City Council's list of witnesses includes Senator Robert Kennedy of New York. H. Rapp Brown is scheduled to speak again today in Manhattan. He's due to appear at a news conference at the National Mobilization Committee to End the War in Vietnam. Speaking in Detroit yesterday, Brown told a crowd of 3,000 Negroes that rioters in Detroit, in his words, did a good job. Well, the city is drying out from yesterday's rainfall, 2.12 inches worth. And besides ruining a summer Sunday and a Saturday as well, the downpour snarled transit and caused power failures. A scheduled concert by Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass in Central Park's Sheep Meadow went on last night. 6,000 loyal fans turned out in the rain for the free event. A reminder that rain has caused quite a few potholes in streets and roads around the New York area this morning, so be extra careful. One note we might make is that the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway was closed last night, and then early this morning, one lane was open. That lane runs from New York to Brooklyn. If you're coming the other way, you'll find your way blocked this morning. News Radio 88 time is 5:57. Midtown temperature, 70 degrees. Now a report on an electronic breakthrough. A revolution as big as a bread box. It's known as electronic video recording, EVR, a set of initials likely to become increasingly familiar in the years ahead. EVR will allow home television sets to play back motion pictures and other visual projections for the first time. Developed by Columbia Broadcasting System, the device will become available early in 1969 in England and soon thereafter in the United States and elsewhere. It's expected to cost, at first, about $280. EVR consists of a playback machine about the size of a bread box and can be inserted or removed from a playback machine in much the same way that long-playing music cartridges are now handled. The cartridge can be played through any number of sets simultaneously and can be stopped at any point for display of a still frame and requires no darkening of the room where it's used. It is in field of education where EVR's major impact is expected to be felt first. It will permit a teacher to play film at any time and as often as he wishes, instead of at the fixed times now dictated by closed circuit or educational television systems. And what makes EVR revolutionary is its size and adaptability. Until it was perfected, the only alternative was videotape, which must be played through expensive equipment at television studios. When EVR is marketed, it will cost about $7 to $14 for a film cartridge, which will provide up to an hour of black and white programming, about a half hour of color material. The cartridge will measure about 7 inches in diameter. The result of years of research by CBS Laboratories, EVR is today's electronic revolutionary and tomorrow's electronic commonplace. 6:59 here in Midtown Manhattan. It's cloudy. The temperature is 70 degrees, the humidity 90%, winds out of the southwest at 7 miles an hour, the barometer reads 29.86 and rising, the THI is 70. Weatherman says partial clearing this morning, partly sunny, and less humid this afternoon, the high in the 70s. Chance of a few showers this evening, tonight's outlook partly cloudy and cool, the low 55 to 65. Right now in Midtown Manhattan, the reading is 70 degrees, and the pollen count as compiled by the Long Island Jewish Hospital is 2 this morning. We want to remind motorists now driving in Brooklyn and Queens of several major road closings. First, in Brooklyn, the northbound lanes of the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway are closed from 46th to 64th Street because of flooding and washing out of the road surface. That's northbound on the BQE from 46th to 61st Street. And in Queens, on the Long Island Expressway heading into the city, the right-hand lane is closed because of holes in the road surface left by the rain. So drive carefully this morning, both to and from work.
This is News Radio 88, WCBS FM, New York.
Parachuting disaster on Lake Erie. As many as 5 feared killed as a light plane hits the WCBS radio tower. And a wave of terrorism in Vietnam. Good morning, this is Charles Osgood, News Radio 88. Boats and planes and helicopters are searching the waters of Lake Erie this morning in an effort that becomes more and more hopeless with each passing moment. To find survivors from the worst parachuting disaster in history. An experienced party of skydivers, 19 of them, jumped from their plane at the wrong time, and they came down 10 miles from their target into the waters of the lake. 2 bodies have been recovered. 15 men are still missing. Only 2 survivors have been picked up. One of them was Robert Coy, who had jumped 261 times before.
I wasn't familiar with the area at all, but the fellows up there said that we were jumping, I think it was approximately 10 to 15 miles inland. You know, so there was no problem with the lake. The reason we were over Lake Erie, I couldn't tell you. And they just opened the bomb bays and gave the signal for us to go, and we all went. Of course, we couldn't see anything. There was a layer of clouds from about 4,000 feet that was to 6,000 feet. And as far as we knew, we were all right and over land and over the airport, or close by.
Robert Coy, one of the only 2 skydivers known to have come through that disastrous jump. All of the skydivers were from Ohio. Yesterday afternoon, as a thunderstorm was dumping all that rain over the New York area, radar operators at LaGuardia Airport were watching the blip of a light plane making a long approach to the field. Shortly after 4 p.m., the plane disappeared from their scopes. A few minutes later, the single-engine Piper Cherokee smashed into a radio transmission tower on High Island in Long Island Sound. At least 2 people were killed. There may be 3 other passengers on that plane. A search is going on. The plane crashed into the water. the radio tower was demolished. It was the AM radio tower for station WCBS and also for WNBC. Those stations were immediately knocked off the air. Tom Herzog, the caretaker of the WCBS transmitter, was there at High Island when the plane hit the tower.
You know, it was raining cats and dogs, and I was just standing in the house looking out one of the windows. And I heard the motor of a plane, and all of a sudden that the engine just cut out. And I heard this terrific impact, and I realized that the plane flew into the tower. So I said to my son, my wife, and mother-in-law, I says, get down flat. I says, the tower is coming down. And my son says, oh, you're kidding, that was lightning. I says, oh, no, it wasn't. So, of course, within seconds, he was convinced because there was just sections dropping all over the place.
Tom Herzog, the caretaker of the WCBS AM transmitter. There were two bodies recovered from Long Island Sound. Three other passengers may also have been in that plane. WCBS radio will operate on FM until such time as auxiliary transmission can be put into operation. The time, 3 minutes past 6 o'clock. Communist guerrillas in Vietnam have launched a wave of terrorist attacks aimed apparently at ruining the upcoming South Vietnamese elections. There was a mortar assault on the huge U.S. helicopter base at Marble Mountain. 4 U.S. Marines were killed. 9 helicopters were destroyed. The runway was torn to pieces at Hoi An, 340 miles northeast of Saigon. U.S. Marine medics looked up from their patients to find guerrilla terrorists charging them inside the hospital. 1 American was killed there, 17 government soldiers, 9 children. One of the terrorists who was killed turned out to be a 12-year-old boy. All in all, in these attacks throughout South Vietnam, more than 500 South Vietnamese were killed or wounded, 7 Americans were killed, and 103 were wounded. In South Vietnam, it's generally believed the Chief of State Nguyen Van Thieu and Premier Nguyen Cao Ky are shoo-ins for president and vice president in those elections on September 3rd. Nevertheless, there were rumors around that Ky had threatened that he might stage a coup if his ticket should lose. Ky was the guest on the CBS News broadcast Face the Nation yesterday and insisted that that's not what he said at all.
If true and rigged election and a bad man elected, and that the future government cannot fulfill the aspiration of the people, I'm sure the people will stand against such government. And I will stand with the people.
Premier Ky saying that if a bad man, as he calls him, is elected through a rigged election, that he will stand with the people. As far as the war is concerned, Premier Ky said that he thinks that things are going better now, and for now he doesn't need any more American troops beyond the ones that President Johnson has already promised.
I think for the present time, yes. But at the same time, we are going to increase our own strength. I think after the election, if we win, and then we're going to take new measures to improve the armed forces, both in quantity and quality.
Premier Ky was also asked whether he thinks North Vietnam should be invaded by land. He said no. New Jersey Senator Clifford Case had something to say about corruption in South Vietnam on the Channel 2 Newsmakers broadcast. Senator Case said the reason that the South Vietnamese don't seem to pay any attention to American demands that they straighten up and fly right is that they feel they don't have to.
They have felt secure and able to go on doing what they wanted to and making the money on the side while American boys were dying and running their old system of cliques and family and tribal relationships and all in the old-fashioned way without regard to how the people of South Vietnam felt because they thought we were going to have to protect them anyway in what they did. Now, we have to make it clear that serious as it would be if we withdrew, and a real failure in American policy and in American conduct of foreign affairs. Nevertheless, if they are not going to change and do their job, then we will withdraw now rather than later, because we can't succeed unless they do change. That's the whole point.
Senator Clifford Case of New Jersey on WCBS-TV yesterday. The American Civil Liberties Union says that the gravest threat to American civil liberties is the war in Vietnam. The ACLU annual report says that reaction against war protests is the greatest current threat to liberty. Incidentally, the report says that there has been a 31% jump in membership in the Civil Liberties Union in the last 18 months. Georgia's governor, Lester Maddox, wants to put prayer rooms in the public schools of his state, and he would like to see a constitutional amendment permitting prayer and Bible reading in the schools. Maddox says, quote, God isn't dead. He isn't even sick. Every American high school student should learn to speak Chinese. That's what Congressman William St. Onge thinks. St. Onge is a Democrat from Connecticut. He says he's going to put in a bill in the Congress to provide federal funds for high school Chinese studies. St. Onge says the reason is, quote, China is no longer a sleeping giant, but a force in being which can no longer be ignored, unquote. In Minneapolis, Ralph Humphrey died last night. He was Vice President Hubert Humphrey's brother, the one who ran the family drugstore. The Vice President was there at St. Barnabas Hospital in Minneapolis when his brother died. It was cancer. Ralph Humphrey was 62. Senator Robert Griffin of Michigan says that he's going to sponsor a resolution in the Senate this week pushing the idea of a nuclear water desalting plant in the Middle East. It's not a new idea. However, Senator Griffin says that he thinks it's a good one. Each desalting plant would produce as much fresh water as the Jordan River is able to produce right now. And water, of course, is one of the big sore points in the Middle East, one of the reasons for tension. It's a problem where to get it. It's a problem who owns what precious water there is. The National Security Agency, the super-secret code-breaking agency, says it needs and wants a new incinerator. All the trash there is top secret and has to be burned every day. The present incinerator burns up 18 tons of trash every 24 hours. But that's not enough, according to NSA officials. They say they want $1 million to buy another one. The tri-state weather, here in Midtown Manhattan, it is cloudy right now. The temperature is 69 degrees, and the humidity is 90%. Winds are out of the southwest at 7 miles an hour, and the barometer reads 29.86 and steady. And the THI, the temperature humidity index, is 69. The time, 9 minutes past 6 o'clock. The forecast, partly clearing this morning, partly sunny and less humid this afternoon, with a high in the 70s. There's a chance of a few showers this evening. Tonight's outlook, partly cloudy and cool, with a low from 55 to 65 degrees. And repeating the current mid-Manhattan reading, it's 69 degrees. The pollen count, as compiled by Long Island Jewish Hospital, is 2. Because of the rain that we had over the weekend, there are problems on the roads. We will get to those just a couple of minutes from now. There are certain roads which are closed and some which are partially closed because of holes in the road caused by that rain over the weekend. At the moment, it's 10 minutes past 6, and here to talk about sports is Pat Summerall.
Right, Charles. For years, you might recall, it was the National League that had commanded the pennant chase and commanded all the interest at this time of year, but that's not so this year. Let's just examine the standings, first of all, in the American League before we get to the scores. In first place today, the Minnesota Twins, 1 percentage point ahead of the Boston Red Sox, and then 7 percentage points behind the Red Sox, and one game back come the Chicago White Sox, whose manager, Eddie Stanky, says they will win no matter what happens to the rest of the teams. And then 5 percentage points behind them are the Detroit Tigers, a game and a half back, so 13 percentage points separate the top four teams. Now, let's check the scores from yesterday. First of all, the Yankees had a good Sunday and beat the Senators at D.C. Stadium in Washington. Tommy Trash drove in 4 runs, and Ruben Amaro hit his first home run of this year. Fritz Peterson won his 5th game. Yankees return to the stadium tonight for a game with the red-hot Red Sox. This will be, by the way, the first stadium appearance for Elston Howard since he was traded to Boston. A wet Sunday at Shea Stadium. Banner day it was, at least it was supposed to be. The Mets and the Cubs were scheduled for 2. First one went 7 innings and was called because of rain. The Cubs won it 3-1. Second game also washed out. The Mets now go to St. Louis for a twinighter with the league leaders in the National League, whose lead is now 10.5 games over Cincinnati. Other scores, first in the American League, Minnesota 6, Cleveland 3. Boston and the White Sox split. Boston won the first game 4-3 as Carl Yastrzemski homered twice. Numbers 33 and number 34 for Yaz. Chicago won the 2nd game in 11 innings. Chicago won Boston nothing. Gary Peters pitched all the way for Chicago. Kansas City 2, Detroit 1, and California and Baltimore was postponed because of rain. National League scores, St. Louis 6, Los Angeles 2, San Francisco and Atlanta split. The Giants won the first one 2-0 as Mike McCormick won number 18. Atlanta 4 and San Francisco 1. Philadelphia 2 and Pittsburgh 1. That game called after 4.5 innings because of all that rain. Cincinnati 11 and Houston 8. There are some things, as we said earlier, that money can't buy, and the Westchester Golf Classic has been the most plagued by rain of any time. The only golf tournament, by the way, that's ever been called off because of rain is the Houston Classic of 2 years ago, where they finally just had to leave town and come back later on and play. Mason Rudolph, again, had a good round yesterday up at Westchester. He had a 67 to go with opening day 66, but all that and all of the good rounds and all of the bad ones, too, were washed out because of rain. They'll try it again today to get in the second round. We will be up there again, Charlie, bringing you live reports from on the spot. Today's will be the second round, and weather permitting, tomorrow will be the third round, and the final will now be held on Wednesday. It was supposed to be yesterday.
Pat, imagine what a frustrating thing it must be to shoot a good round and then have the thing washed out. That's happened to more than one player up there, hasn't it?
Oh, yes. Sam Snead lost 3 strokes by the rain yesterday, and for a man who's 55 years old, to walk around that rain, it's got to be a little taxing. It'll be interesting to see if he can come back. Rudolph has had an opening day 66, and then he came back with a 69 that was washed out, and then came back yesterday with a 67, which again was washed out. So as you say, it's got to be frustrating. Charlie, there's one preseason football game that we don't want to forget about. It'll be on tonight, televised by CBS Television, Channel 2 here. The champion Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. Game time is 9:30. And that's just about it. We'll see you in about 30 minutes.
Very good, Pat. And of course, later on, you will be going up to the Westchester Country Club, where every hole is a water hole.